creating cultural awareness and understanding. This is Culture Click. Culture Click is written and produced by KQAL-FM on the campus of Winona State University.
On Tuesday, September 15th, at the Assembly Room in Maplewood Townhomes in Winona, Minnesota, the Human Rights Commission and Winona State University sponsored a community forum in response to the recent displays of the Confederate flag. The Community Justice Forum, Responding to Hate in Winona, consisted of presenters discussing the history of the flag, its past and current uses as a tool of political intimidation and domestic terrorism, its impact on community members, and how we as a community can positively respond to symbols of hate and intimidation. Today, we bring you part one of the forum. I'm Terry Tunset, and you're listening to Culture Click.
Okay, I think everybody's about in. Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Thank you all for coming out. I'm Chuck Ripley. I'm a professor of English at Winona State University, and I'm chair of the Winona Human Rights Commission. I want to welcome you all to this Community Justice Forum, Responding to Symbols of Hate in Winona. This forum is sponsored by the Winona Human Rights Commission and WSU. I want to first thank the HRA Director, Linda Bedka, for the use of these facilities tonight and all of her cooperation in making this event possible, and all the presenters and volunteers who donated their time and knowledge. As you can see in your program, we will have a series of formal presentations on issues related to the Confederate flag, followed by testimonies from community members and WSU students, followed by a general discussion. During the general discussion, I hope we can begin talking about how to solve the problems facing our community together. To make the discussion fair, during this part of the forum, we'll be using what's known as a talking stick. And if any of you has gone to the Dakota Unity Alliance, and you know, you never have your co-sponsor provide the stick, right? And so during the open discussion, if you hold this stick, you have the floor for 2 minutes and say whatever you want. And then Dr. Colette Hyman, she will be our timekeeper, and when your time's up, she'll raise her hand, and as soon as you can wrap up your thought, please pass it on to someone else. Up here, you can see that we posted some guidelines and rules for inclusive conversations. I hope we can stick to these ideas and try to have a constructive, positive debate tonight about these issues. Finally, if you look at the bottom of your program, you'll also see some events upcoming at WSU related to our forum and our theme year, which is equity as a human right, that you may want to attend. And you can go to the WSU webpage for events coming up in October. The last thing I want to say as a matter of orientation, KQAL, which is the local campus radio station, is here recording the formal presentations. Once we open up the floor, if you choose to remain seated when you speak, you will not be recorded. But if you stand up, that's signaling your decision to be recorded by the radio station. And so the purpose of tonight's forum is to begin a positive community response to symbols of hate, and in particular, the Confederate flag. While the attention of the nation this past summer was focused on Charleston, South Carolina, and its debate over the flag, many of us in Winona were unaware that these same issues were at play in our own community. As most of us know now, these issues came to an unfortunate head in the events of August 24th, which propelled Winona into both national and international attention. Now, I want to make clear, it is not our purpose tonight to do an investigation into the events of that day. The police department is doing their investigation. The justice system in Winona is in charge of that. That's beyond our purview as a community. But I also want to make clear about how I'm involved in this issue personally. I come from rural Michigan. I grew up on a farm. I come from a long line of farmers. My grandfather, who I was closest to after my parents split up, I found out later, had been a longtime member of the Ku Klux Klan. This was really hard for me to reconcile a man I greatly admire who took the place of my father with this role of his identity that I had no knowledge of. And so as I grew from rural America and went on my own life journey, one of the things I did is I became a Peace Corps volunteer. I lived with a local family in the South Pacific. I became adopted and part of that family. And it really allowed me to see other ways of living and other ways of being. After I got done with my Peace Corps service, I worked as an election supervisor in Bosnia after their civil war. The civil war had been over about four months at that time. And for those of you who don't know about the Bosnian Civil War, it was in the former Yugoslavia after World War II. You had people from different religious and ethnic groups living together in harmony. What this meant is you had people who were Muslims and had a mosque in the same neighborhood as those who were Serbian and Eastern Orthodox, which is a denomination of Christianity, together with Croatians who had Catholic churches. And coming there 4 months after the war was over, as we took the bus from Vienna into Bosnia, I got to see children without legs. I saw a lot of children without legs. And if you know anything about the conflict in Bosnia, you know it's because they used landmines and they blew up the children. So when the children would go out into the field, they would put them in the fields. And so when people would try to farm and raise food during the war, they would be blown up. I saw buildings razed because when they went into neighborhoods, they destroyed the other places of worship. And for me, how this affected me is that I know the real pain associated with community division. That we are not different people, we are one people, one humanity. And so when we talk about the Confederate flag, we are not saying country people are bad people. We're not saying people from the South are bad people. My wife's from Tennessee, that's where I met her. She is not a bad person. Her family are not bad people. What we are saying is we have to be responsible in the symbols and the language we use and recognize that the symbols we use, the language we use, as much as we want to say we can control that meaning, at the end of the day, we cannot always control the meanings. That for many people in our community, where they see the Confederate flag and they see a symbol of hate and intimidation, and in some cases, a symbol of terror. As a more formal part of this forum will suggest, part of our work tonight is to recognize the historical and current meaning and uses of the Confederate flag. To people who may maintain that the flag is not meant to be racist or incendiary, I would answer that it is in the nature of a symbol that its meanings are beyond our control. Across the street from me lives an older woman. She was born and grew up in Nazi Germany. Would anyone accept her flying a flag, a Nazi flag that celebrated her childhood? Would anybody accept her defense that it was heritage and not hate that displayed that flag? I don't mean to call anyone Nazis, but what I do want to underscore is that we would not allow my neighbor to dictate the meaning of that flag for the rest of us. Its important values are so embedded in that symbol, we all recognize that it would reflect badly on our community not to answer the attempt to rob it of its symbolic hatred and resonance. Clearly, in our own community and across the nation, it is the African American community that still feels the traumatic resonance of the Confederate flag most acutely. If all this meaning had died with the Civil War, it would not be trauma. But the Confederate flag continues still to be the calling card for those who will intimidate and terrorize African Americans and other people of color. We must recognize this fact as real, and it is somewhat remarkable in a city whose regiment in the Battle of Gettysburg lost 80% of its soldiers, that we still do not feel this trauma in Winona. WSU students of all races who have seen the Confederate flag in our community have asked staff and professors at WSU, what kind of community is Winona? And I think this is a question that confronts us all. One particularly troubling thing to me is how young the people involved in the events surrounding August 24th were. We have to recognize that they were already debating the issues surrounding the Confederate flag, and that to acknowledge that fact is no sensationalism. Rather, this tells me that we, as educators, community leaders, and parents, have failed our children of all races in a real way. We have passed on to them the worst debates of the American tradition and left them on their own devices. It is only because we have not confronted these issues ourselves that our children must. We must and can do better. I want to close my introductory remarks then by just reading a letter Mayor Peterson sent to me. The city of Winona has made significant strides toward being an inclusive community and one that welcomes all people regardless of color or ethnicity. Unfortunately, it hasn't always been that way, and admittedly, we do have a ways to go. What's important is we recognize that and are working to make improvements. Winona has in the past proclaimed itself as an inclusive community. Just saying so doesn't mean it is, though. To that end, we established a Human Rights Commission and more recently opened it up to county participation. Just last weekend, we had the Dakota Gathering, which has done a lot to bring together the dispersed Native people back to Winona. The recent incident with the Confederate flag brings to surface something that many communities around the country are dealing with. While displaying a Confederate flag is a right guaranteed under the First Amendment, it does not, in my opinion, reflect the values of most of the citizens of this community. Let's not forget that many men from Winona 150 years ago left their homes, families, and jobs to go and fight against that symbol and the way of life it stood for. These men sacrificed and died so our country could remain a union, and most importantly, end slavery. This flag stands for a society that no longer exists and should not be glorified. While it represents different things to many people, it should have no place in today's society, and especially in our community. The flag, for many, is a symbol of racism and only serves to inflame emotions. And again, that's Mark Peterson. And so, with those opening remarks, I want to turn the presentation over to Professor John Campbell, who's a professor of history at Winona State University.
Okay, thanks, Chuck. Hello, everybody. My name is John Campbell. I teach history at Winona State. My specialty is the Civil War era. And so I wanted to spend a few minutes giving sort of the historical context regarding the flag so we have a non-myth-based understanding about the flag, where it came from, and some of its uses over the last 150 years in this country. So just that's my purpose up here, is to help give a historical context. Just to remind ourselves that the terrorist killing in Charleston, South Carolina, in June of this year, in which we had a white supremacist male going into the Emmanuel AME Church and killing nine black church parishioners, was something very much associated with the Confederate flag. Just to remind us that this individual had posted photos of himself wearing a jacket or a sweatshirt or something that featured the flag, the Confederate flag, as well as the flags of two other comparable countries, Rhodesia and South Africa, both of which practice a form of apartheid up through the 1980s and 90s. So a question one could ask is, why did this individual associate his white supremacist ideas with the Confederate flag? Okay, so I want to make two really important historical points in my brief participation here. First of all, it goes back to the Civil War and slavery. Chuck has already, talked about that twice, about the Battle of Gettysburg, okay? So, the Confederate flag does not come out of thin air, but it's associated with this effort to create a separate country, okay? So we have to, if you want to really have an intelligent discussion about this flag, you've got to look at the historical context out of which it came, okay? So that means we have to ask the question, why did the southern states secede in 1860-61 to try to create this independent nation known as the Confederacy, okay? So the answer is, and this is the answer that you should have in your heads, despite what you might read in the popular media, that central to the reason for secession was slavery, okay? These people, these white southerners, were terribly afraid of what was going to happen with Lincoln and the other Republicans now taking office in 1861. The Republican Party was a moderate anti-slavery party. It wasn't filled with radicals, but nonetheless, it was an anti-slavery party. These white Southerners said it's just a matter of time before these guys come in, take over, and start passing all this legislation that will basically destroy our way of life based on slavery. We can't abide that prospect, so we need to leave the Union, and that's what they did, okay? So you have to remember that slavery was the number one reason for creating secession, the Confederacy, and the Confederate flag, okay? Now, there's many different Confederate flags out there. There were different national flags, different battle flags. Each regiment had its own flag, so even this notion of a Confederate flag is sort of highly problematic, and people like to split hairs about which flag we're talking about. But ultimately, any and all of these Confederate flags are all going back to the same issue, which is trying to win a war that will allow this nation, this new nation, to take root. But it's going to, the purpose of it is to create an alternative country where slavery is at the center. It's at the center of the economy. It's at the center of the way of life. The notion of white supremacy, of course, is all about having slavery. So that is the reason for why the Confederacy was created for 4 years until it failed to survive, and that's why we have Confederate flags, okay? Now, of course, the reason why we have much of this discussion in this country is that there are a lot of people that claim that slavery was not the central reason. They give a lot of other reasons, but the main one I think that people offer is that it's all about states' rights, okay? That Southerners were fearful that the big, bad Republican government was going to come down heavy and take away their rights as states, and that and this is why they seceded. And people making this case, they make the point that the majority of Confederate soldiers came from families that did not own slaves. And that's true. The majority of white Southerners in 1860 did not own slaves. And so, yes, indeed, the Confederate armies were filled with non-slaveholding men. So therefore, if that's the case, these guys could not have had slavery on the brain, but they were fighting because they wanted to create this nation, this new nation that would preserve all these rights of the states. This notion that it's all about states' rights and you have all these non-slaveholding men was mentioned in Congress, in fact, in July of 2015. Let me just read you a statement of a congressman, a Republican congressman, a man by the name of, I'm assuming it's a man, well, Lynn Westmoreland of Georgia, and this is what he/she said. The majority of people that actually died in the Civil War on the Confederate side did not own slaves. These were people that were fighting for their states. I don't think they had even any thoughts about slavery, unquote, okay? So this congressman or woman said this in the halls of Congress just a month and a half ago. So this is an alternative claim, and I think I'll suggest three reasons for why it's wrong, all right? First of all, historical research has shown that many poor whites aspire to become slaveholders, okay? If not for themselves, then for their children, okay? Second of all, these poor whites that filled the South and filled the Confederate Army, they understood that they benefited, 2 minutes left, they benefited from having slavery. It made them superior to all these slaves. And so even if they didn't have slaves, they saw that the society worked for them, okay? And finally, the issue of states' rights is, well, the right to do what? Well, basically to create slave society as they wanted. So slavery is central to the issue of slavery, to the creation of the Confederacy. The second major point I want you to take away is that the Confederate flag also became a way for showing defiance against the civil rights movement, okay? This is not just about the Confederacy, it's also about Southerners who were opposed to the civil rights movement of the 1950s and 60s, and the best evidence that I'll throw out on this point right now, 1962, South Carolina said, we need to put the Confederate flag on the roof of our Capitol dome as a statement that we are against the civil rights movement, okay? The flag wasn't there until 1962. Why was it put there? Because white South Carolinians were shocked and freaked out about the civil rights movement, okay? So when you see that Confederate flag in Winona, you know, you don't know what the person's thinking. They might be thinking about the war. They might even be thinking about this more recent political charge nature, which was a statement against the civil rights movement, okay? Thank you.
Fred.
Oh, okay.
So, Dr. Lee is a professor of political science at Winona State University, and rather than give a presentation, he just wants to field questions about the political uses of the flag. That's a true professor there.
I'm also willing to try to answer questions, not necessarily on behalf of the Human Rights Commission, but as a member of it. So you can ask two types of questions, one about the flag and perhaps one about what we do.
And just keep mailing. That's not acceptable. You know what I'm saying? Like, we know we not saying everybody that got their flag in their car is racist. You know what I'm saying? We not racist, we don't mess with nobody. We hear the real. What happened until August the 24th could have been prevented from happening. You know what I'm saying? We gotta ask this man, stop speeding through here. Stop riding through here, your car fast. Stop doing all this, but no, this happened until he hit the little boy. Now we in this big old room talking about what happened that day. We know where the flag came from. We know about our ancestors. We watch roots. We know what our grandma and granddaddy told us. We don't need to hear no story about that. We want to talk about why is they using it now. Some people use it in the good, some people use it in the bad. What's going on in Winona? Is you using it in the good or is you using it in the bad? Because everybody ain't racist, man. I'm not racist. Hang on, my mom's from another mother right here.
So, Fred, I think her question was, how do we distinguish between a good use of the Confederate flag, somebody who proclaims not to be racist,
right,
from a bad use, when you don't know that person?
But well, when you see that person every day, and he melted and he ran through you, he don't make you think that flag came from those civil rights. He make you think that he out here on something else. You that, keep going about a new flag, and your flag keep getting bigger and bigger. Come on, man. What do you think of that? Because I'm going to say it's racism. What if I walk around with a black power flag and my way, power to the people? What you going to think of that? Racism. We don't do it. And I've been here for 8 years and I've never been through no shit like that. So I'm not going to say just because of what happened that day because of racism, it didn't happen because of that. It happened because of show respect to your neighborhood. If you can't show respect to the neighborhood, get the hell out of there.
So let me respond to that, and then I think we can move forward. And I think part of her point is, one, you don't know what the motives of somebody are when they have a Confederate flag, other than what your group associates with that flag. Secondly, that these issues tied to the Confederate flag are tied to these other issues. So when we talk about community respect, community justice, where if you're acting in a respectful way to your neighbors, part of that is listening and understanding what they might be thinking about the symbols and words that you employ. And that's a community. Because if we're in a place and we just express how we feel, then we're not in a community. We're just people who live with other people. We're not cohering with one another.
Yeah, you know, in preparation for tonight, and I guess there's bad news and good news, right? The bad news is I left my notes at my apartment. Okay, well, that's the good news. Bad news is that I'm here, regardless. I looked up this word semiotics, and it's the study of signs. And had not our audience member left, I might have had a chance to talk a little bit more about it directly to her. I think in one way you could answer the question by asking the person who has the flag, you know, what does it mean? I think that would be, rather than inferring what that flag means to that person, we might ask. I'm not always sure that we would get an answer that we would like, but to answer her question more pointedly, I would just ask.
And what happens if they ask and they're told why they have, those people have a flag, and then the events still occur that did? Because the person flying the flag had explained to numerous people in the community what the flag meant to him. So what does it mean to them? That's what I want to say.
So if we're let me just interject to make sure we have a orderly forum. And I think all these concerns are very valid ones. And so maybe we'll have the two-minute time limit with the stick, if you don't mind. And I don't mean to have to negotiate the mic and the stick.
Well, that's my question. I want to know, what is his reason for flying the flag? Because I'm from the South. You know, I've seen the flag displayed on people's cars. They fly it. They hang it in front of their house. It's a heritage thing. But I've never seen the racism behind it down south. But up north, I've seen the Confederate flag flown because of the ruling in South Carolina where the Confederate flag had to come down. Now all of a sudden, everybody wants to fly a Confederate flag all of a sudden. So I just like to know what's his reason for flying one.
It's the heritage behind it.
Well, okay, is he from the South?
He's got family members from the South.
Anyway, I can't do this
because
I'm
going to
say something like that. I just don't understand.
Yeah, and before I pass on the baton, excuse me. Again, our wider concerns here are how these issues play with the community. And we're not going to investigate August 24th, but we know that's a trigger point.
Okay, and something that I do want to add to that, when he was around flying the flag, my husband called the police to let the police know that the guy that was sitting in the back of his truck holding the flag up was sticking his middle finger up at my child and other children that were only because they were black. But no police officer ever showed up that night. But if someone else calls the police, they're here four or five cars deep to see what's going on. So I'd also like to know why that wasn't responded to. And now I noticed the police officers aren't, you know, the police aren't here right now, but I just, you know, that's just a question that arises when it comes to the community. Like, when we have something to say, it's not being heard. But if someone else has something to say, oh, they're here on the drop of a dime, you know. So that's just something that I'd like to know that's going on in our community.
I will be happy to yield my time for the conversation.
Well,
as it's ongoing.
Sure. And maybe if I can just raise the point with the police. We decided very intentionally not to invite the police tonight because they are doing their investigation. They came to the Human Rights Commission a few weeks ago. They're doing it. And we personally, I cannot answer why, but it may be just to tie your comments to the wider concerns.
But it makes us feel like they don't care about the black people in this community. It doesn't matter if the black people in this community don't matter, because you won't even come and see about, and I mean their children. It's not like it's an adult calling saying, oh, some guy just flipped me off and he got a Confederate flag. No, he's flipping off children, kids. That's not right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I'll speak to that. You know, excuse me. I just have an allergy.
drainage or something. Okay. Hey, I'm 70, you know, so you can expect almost anything, right? Chuck had asked if I had wanted to, say something earlier about my background. And I grew up in New Orleans, and I'm old enough to have lived through the segregated South. When I was quite young, maybe 5 or 6 years old, we rode in the back of the bus. And if I could illustrate what that would look like, I think it'll give me a little bit more credibility in terms of what I want to say. So let's pretend that you're on a public conveyance. And when I was younger, New Orleans had streetcars as well as buses. Public transportation. Now, on the seat on each conveyance, there was two holes that were drilled into the seat about maybe a half inch down, and there was a placard that said for colored patrons only. So when I got on the bus, if I knew what was good for me, I would sit behind this placard, and so that's where for colored patrons. Now, I think the ultimate, at least at the time, act of humiliation would be when these young white guys, and it was always white men who would do this. If I were sitting here and the placard was here, they would just deliberately take the placard and put it behind me, so then I would have to get up and move. So my point is, you know, all of us have our crosses to bear, and I have lots of horror stories to tell you about what it's like growing up in a place that most of us think as a revelry city, in New Orleans, the Mardi Gras. Well, I mean, you know, when I was there, it wasn't all that nice if you were a person of color. I've experienced that. So I really wanted to say something about this person flipping off, you know, the children, right? Yeah, it's really repugnant. It's wrong. No one should do that to a child, okay? But it's not illegal, you know? I mean, it's terrible. There are a lot of things that are really bad, but because they're bad, it does not make them actionable under the law. I'm not a police officer, obviously. Some people would say you're not even a good professor, but anyway, that's a separate story. But I do want to, I'm not here to defend the police, but I don't think that someone giving a child the finger constitutes a police action. It just does not. Maybe it should. Am I finished? Maybe it should, but it does not.
Well, that's just why people react the way they did in that situation.
Sure, sure.
That's exactly why people react the way they did in that situation, because mm-hmm. we feel like no one else cares about us, mm-hmm. so we have to care about ourselves and stand up for ourselves, and that's just not right.
Yeah. Understandable. I don't disagree with you.
I'm Terry Tunsett, and you've been listening to our coverage of the Community Justice Forum, Responding to Hate in Winona, Part 1. This forum was brought to you by the Winona Human Rights Commission and Winona State University. Tune in next week for Part 2. I'm Terry Tunsett, and you've been listening to Culture Click.
Creating cultural awareness and understanding. You've been listening to Culture Click. Support for Culture Click is made possible by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. Culture Click is produced by KQAL-FM on the campus of Winona State University. For more information, look us up on the web at kqal.org. And thanks for listening to Culture Click.